Now, I'm sure you know that this is going to have an effect on the market for your father's books, you know? I checked on Amazon, and there's still John Cleve titles available. There's an Amazon John Cleve page.
I didn't know about the...
Well, there you go.
Well, I'm sure there, you know, there's a market now for the vintage paperbacks of all kinds, because, you know, a lot of those paperbacks in the old days had beautiful covers. They were painted painted covers, you know, whether it was porn or mystery or science fiction or crime. So it doesn't surprise me, but no, I didn't know about it.
Well, take a look. It'll amuse you no end, I'm sure. Now, one of the things I find most fascinating in this book is your vantage point of all the days of science fiction conventions, which practically became your family vacations.
Well, sort of they did. I mean, we didn't really have many vacations. We never had any vacations. Occasionally, we would accompany Mom and Dad to an SF convention or a con, they called them, if it was close enough to where they could drive within 4 or 5 hours. And if the con agreed to give Mom and Dad a room, you know, for the kids. So that was how I came about going to them. Mom and Dad went to 6 or 8 a year in the, you know, spring through the fall. And then there was a time when I probably went to 2, maybe 3 a year with them from around age 13 to 15. And then I got tired of them.
Well, yeah. So what do you think you're going to do with it eventually? I mean, like when you leave us in this book, you've rented a storage unit and you've put it all away for a while. Do you think you'll eventually give it to an archive or a library? Or
I have no idea what I'll do with it. Some people express interest, mainly collectors and dealers. And they just want to cherry pick off the top and exploit it financially for themselves, which is understandable, but that's not really what I'd like to do with it. You know, it's 50-some years of one person's work in multiple fields. The three primary fields, fantasy, science fiction, porn, there aren't a lot of libraries out there that are specializing in either of them, let alone all three. So at this point, I'm not really sure what's going to happen with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, the death of a parent leads you to revisit your childhood. And one of the places you revisit that was so charming to me personally is your bookmobile, your local bookmobile in Kentucky, and your childhood reading. And I loved hearing about your first favorite book.
Oh, Harriet the Spy?
Yes.
Yeah, I loved Harriet the Spy. I still own a copy of Harriet the Spy. I found one at a secondhand bookstore of the first hardback printing with illustrations by the writer Louise Fitzhugh.
Oh wow!
I had read Tom Sawyer and Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew and all kinds of children's fare. And I tried to relate to him, but Harriet the Spy was written in a way that was, it was very realistic for a book aimed at children. And Harriet could not have had a more different life than mine. I mean, she lived in New York City. She was my age. She lived in New York City with a wealthy parents who had a nanny, but she was a misfit and walked around with pencil and a notebook. And wrote down her perceptions of the world. And it was appealing to me. And so I started doing that. I bought a little notebook and started carrying around paper and pen. And in many ways, emulating Harriet the Spy. She was probably my first girlfriend. But I still carry around paper and pen every day and do what Harriet did. She also carried a flashlight, which I have since abandoned carrying.
Well, you can't keep up all these things over all these years, you know. But it's so powerful when you see that first figure in a book that shows you a way to be, a way you want to be, you know.
Well, a way you want to be, and also an alternative to the way to what your life is. And a lot of my reading was escape, and it was sort of, I wish I was Frank Hardy, and my father was a detective, Fenton Hardy, and I had this cool brother, and we went around solving crimes, and had a boat that we could go out on the lake on, and I think it's a similar appeal to the Harry Potter books. I haven't read all of them. I read a couple when my sons were reading them. But, you know, it's a kid, a misfit kid who finds out not only are these parents not his, but he has magic powers.
Right, right. Oh, that childhood reading takes, you know, stays with you. Now, one of the main impetuses.
There's nothing beautiful and more wonderful than reading as a child because the imagination just plugs right into it. And you feel as if you have endless time as a kid.
Yeah.
And certainly you have fewer responsibilities.
Do you ever think you might want to write for kids?
I don't think so. When my sons were little, I would make up stories and tell them stories, but you never know. It has not occurred to me yet. I'm not sure what I would write about, you know.
Well, you're such a gorgeous writer. I think you could write anything.